I think that in the last 50 years or more, considerable progress has been made. If we look back to then, apartheid in South Africa has ended. The civil rights movement in the USA was able to make some progress. But there is no doubt but that there are very insidious contemporary forms of racism which challenge the global community to stand up and be counted. That is absolutely true. I'm conscious also of a number of the ways in which racism now manifests itself. For example, incitement to hatred and racial profiling. And these are very, very insidious current forms of racial discrimination. Racial profiling, apart from anything else, is in fact an expensive and ineffective attempt at justice or protection of national security, as indeed a number of studies of the various ways in which it has been used indicates. It's something that few states can openly acknowledge happens, but unfortunately, in a number of states, it is a reality. It is a reality not in terms of purpose sometimes, because I think the states will say that this is not what they're setting out to do, but it is a reality in terms of effect.
What we've seen is that states, as you mentioned, are using racial profiling, but they're saying, you know, we have to protect our territories. And we've seen that particularly in the context of the vast numbers of migrants we see entering some countries. What about countries who say, you know, we're doing this to protect our people?
I believe that sometimes there is a genuine concern with protection, but racial profiling is an expensive and ineffective attempt at justice and at national security. If you look to a number of the horrors that have been perpetrated in the last number of years, not all of them were perpetrated. In fact, very few of them were perpetrated by recent migrants. You know, very frequently they come from within the citizenship of the countries where the terrorist offences happen. So, you know, I would say just in purely practical terms, this form of security policy isn't persistently effective at all. I would secondly say that that sort of process is very alienating for the people who are involved. It's an experience very often of discrimination and of racism, extremely alienating, and in itself can create the conditions for unrest and further alienation.
In your speech in the General Assembly, you also mentioned the gender dimension to racial profiling and racial discrimination, that women experience it differently. But could you tell us about that?
Yes, I think this is really important at the moment. One size does not fit all when we're talking about racism and racial discrimination. So us women who experience racism or racial discrimination experience it in very particular ways, which are also associated with the oppression of women, very often in sexualized ways. And this very clearly needs to be taken into consideration as we look to how we might address the rights gaps for us women in these processes. For example, women migrants in that journey of migration can very often be subject to sexual abuse, and they have very particular needs which need to be identified, articulated, and they also need very particular services at various stages in that process. Very often, women migrants may not be considered as individuals in their own right, but rather as part of a family context. That may be how some of them wish to be considered, but there may be a number of women who do not wish to be considered in that way, and that consideration can be explicitly discriminatory for them and for the experiences that they have. It may be about leave to remain in a country. It may be about their fear of actually escaping or moving from an abusive situation. It could be about their employment situation. It could be about a whole variety of things.
Ms. Crickley, thank you very much for taking the time. Is there anything further you think our listeners should know about your committee and on the global push to end racial discrimination?
I think I would like your listeners to know that 178 countries have actually ratified the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, that they report to us on a four-year basis, that we provide them with concluding observations and recommendations with regard to how they could continue to make progress. We don't compare one country with the other, nor should we, because we've got to consider each situation within its own context. But I would also like your listeners to know the great importance of all of them and all of us engaging actively in the struggle to end racial discrimination at this point.